Luke chapter 11 and read from verse 1. Luke 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And we'll stop there. In the past few months, I firmly believe that the Lord has been teaching us to pray. That the Lord has brought many various events into our lives that have renewed our interest, our need, and just the importance of prayer in our minds. Tonight, I want to encourage us and to exhort us in some things that the Bible says about prayer and what the Bible says about the power and the method and some interesting points about prayer. This past week has taught me what praying fervently means, what it means to be burdened and to weep in prayer, to truly have your heart set on praying and on turning something over to God, knowing that you can't do anything and being intimidated by what's in front of us. In the past month and a half or so, I've been burdened with the exhortation to never cease in prayer, as we've thought about Andy and as he's been on our minds and hearts, and knowing that the answer is probably not close by, but it's probably a long way away, and yet knowing that we can't stop praying for him. And then there have also been many who are suddenly bereaved recently, and the intercession and the comfort that we have been able to share with them through praying and through presenting them to the Lord has been another way that the Lord has brought prayer to my mind. So, may we look at a passage, a well-known passage, that I think is a great example of prayer. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll start with verse 1 and move on from there. This passage, I have to admit, it's not my example of prayer, but I stole it from someone, a guy named James who wrote a book. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. I'm 1 Kings 18:1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now skip down to verse 41 of the same chapter. Verse 41 of 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again, seven times. And it came to pass that at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The James I referred to, of course, is the author of the epistle in the New Testament, who in chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man has great power. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." There are a few great things about prayer in this passage. First, prayer is for the common person to accomplish powerfully effective things. Prayer is for the common person to accomplish powerfully effective things. James says that Elijah was no different than any one of us. And yet he prayed and changed the weather patterns of Israel for an extended period. There is nothing in Elijah or in any one of us that is able to accomplish anything. But we have access to the throne of Almighty God, and He is able to do all things. Prayer is for the common person to accomplish great things. Second, God likes to hear His desires prayed for. God told Elijah that it would rain. When someone tells me that they're going to do something, I don't typically ask them for it again. But God's different than us. That's not how God approaches things. God likes for us to realize who is doing the work. And He finds great pleasure in us laying ourselves before Him and asking for the blessings that He has promised. Thirdly, Elijah prayed fervently. And as I said before, this past week has taught me what it means to pray fervently. To weep as you give all power and worry into God's hands and rely on Him to take care of it all. It's not a common theme of my prayers. And I find myself going through the motions of prayer far too often, as I get swept up in the daily routine. Is prayer a fervent activity, an activity of effort, an activity of life and of energy for you, or is it something that you do, something that doesn't take much to do, something that you let slide sometimes? You know, I know for me that fervent prayer is an unusual thing. But I think it shouldn't be. I think it should be something that we put effort into, something that great emotion does not have to provoke from us, but something that we are actively pursuing to speak with our Lord. And fourthly, the one that I'll dwell on tonight is that prayer is often redundant. Did you notice that Elijah sent the servant out 7 times to look for the answers to the prayers that he prayed? How much faith does it take to send someone out to look for the answers to your prayers? Once. It takes a lot. You know, when I pray, I'm not going to tell someone, "Well, I prayed about it. Go look for it to happen." You know, that's a lot of faith. Now say that person comes back and says, "Nope, didn't happen. There's nothing there." And you pray a second time, and you send him out again. Say, "Go look for the answer." And he comes back and he says, "Nope, didn't happen." How many times would it take for you to give up? How many times would you be faithful enough to ask God and expect the answer from God? You know, that 7th time, do you think the servant expected anything? I mean, he's like, "Elijah, I did this 6 times. There's nothing out there." But you know, the seventh time, there was an answer. The seventh time, there was an answer that looked small, and the servant didn't think it was much. But Elijah knew it was the answer. You know, in the same vein, I was thinking about the book of Joshua. And in Joshua 6, the Israelites are coming up against the city of Jericho. And we all know the story. Joshua gets the Israelites up one day early. He takes them to Jericho. They walk around the city and they come back home. The next day, he gets them up. He takes them around the city and they come back home. The third day, he wakes them up. He takes them to the city, walks around it, and they come back home. You know, as I was reading the passage about the Battle of Jericho, not even the writer of Joshua can write it the amount of times that he does it. It would get tedious. You wouldn't want to read, and the next day, they went and they walked around the city. Can you imagine being one of the Israelites? Can you imagine on the fifth day going out with Joshua to walk around the city? How about on the seventh day? Because on the seventh day, they walked around the city seven times. So about the fifth time around the city on that day, what do you think is going through their head? They pass the gates and they're like, oh my goodness, another time? Are you kidding me? And all they can see is the same ugly back of the same ugly shirt that the guy in front of them is wearing. They're not allowed to talk. They have to do it silently. And you know, every little cough or tickle in the throat of everybody around them that's been hacking up sand all day has to be getting on their nerves. And then they get to the seventh time. And the trumpets blow, and Joshua says, hey, everybody, shout! Man, my mind would be like, Joshua, are you kidding me? You just made me walk around the city 13 times. I haven't said a word all day, and now you want me to yell? Really? Really, Joshua? Come on. But you know, the 13th time, the walls fell down. It makes me think about our problems and our issues, our burdens. How do you know that this time that you pray isn't the sixth time, and the next time that you pray will be the seventh? How do you know that this isn't the 12th trip around the city of Jericho, and the next time will be the 13th? My encouragement is to not give up. Prayer is for common people to accomplish great things. The Lord wants us to pray. The Lord wants us to pray for things that He's already promised to us. And you know, the Lord wants us to pray and to pray and to pray until we're fully convinced that it's not us, but it's Him. Jesus told some parables that are along the same lines. He talked about a widow who went to an unrighteous judge and begged and begged and begged and begged and kept going back to the judge until the judge finally said, all right, I'll give her what she wants as long as she goes away. He told another story about a neighbor who knocks on the door at night and says, I need something. And the man doesn't answer. And he knocks again and he says, I need something. And the man doesn't answer. And he keeps knocking until his neighbor gets up and gives him what he needs. And the point is, if we can nag people until we can get justice and grace from people that aren't gracious and aren't just, how much more will the God who is just and who is gracious be willing to give us justice and be willing to give us grace when we ask? And if we continue to ask, will He not be willing to give us what we need? One final verse that pertains to prayer this evening comes from the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12:23. It's just a short verse. You don't have to turn there. But Samuel is at the end of his career as leading the people of Israel as judge. He's about to turn over the reins to Saul, and he's addressing the people. And he says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." Samuel considered it a sin against God if he did not pray for the people of Israel. May our hearts and our minds understand the importance of prayer, the effect of prayer, and the challenge of praying and praying and praying until we see that little cloud rise up or we see those walls come down. The Lord is powerful, and He is able to do great things. We've certainly seen that this week. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank You for all that You have in store for us. For the goodness that You have, for the grace that You've shown, Lord, for the answers to our prayers. Lord, help us to understand the importance and the usefulness of this wonderful gift that You've given of access into Your presence, of speaking to You and laying our requests before You so that we don't have to worry about them, and so that You can take care of them. God, may we use it. May we use it fervently, with energy, with desire, and may we never give up. May we never stop praying until You have accomplished the answer that You have chosen. Lord, we thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for the wonderful ways that You have shown Yourself to us. And Lord, we thank You for the availability of Your throne and Your ear to listen to our requests. It's in Your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.